Good day, and welcome to the U.S. Conference of Mayors press conference call to voice opposition to withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn it over to the U.S. Conference of Mayors Vice President, New Orleans, Mayor Mitchell Andrew. Mr. Landrieu, you may begin.
Great. Thank you so much, and thank everybody for joining us today. I'm joined today by mayors from across America, from big cities and small cities, both Republican and Democrat, to stress opposition to President Trump's withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord. As just a matter of short background, the United States Conference of Mayors has for many, many years, from the Kyoto Protocol to the Paris Accords through today, been taking an active role in making sure that we combat climate change. And I know a number of different mayors on the call will speak about that from their perspective, but I'd like to just make a couple of opening comments and then turning over to Mayor Greg Stanton from Phoenix. I think that on behalf of the conference, it's our collective opinion that withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accord was short-sighted. It was a short-sighted political decision that we think is not only going to negatively impact our economic growth, but the future livability not only of the United States, but the world as well. And although we are spending a lot of time talking about America first, while many of us may agree with that, it cannot be America only. Feeling about this is that the decision to withdraw from the agreement pits environmental protection against economic growth, but we think this is a false choice. We think that, in fact, withdrawing from the climate accord is actually not going to safeguard American industry. It's going to actually cost us jobs. And you have seen the private sector, along with mayors, actually lead in the development of new industry, new technology, and creating new jobs. Ironically, you actually have even big oil with Exxon, Shell, BP, and Chevron, who have understood from a private sector perspective that it's really, really important that we begin to combat climate change. In New Orleans particularly, and in South Louisiana, we are suffering a triple threat of coastal erosion, sea level rise, and climate change, which essentially will actually have the land that we live on disappear, and as a consequence, the jobs and the communities that all of our citizens live on. On top of that, even General Mattis stated that the impacts of climate change are a significant cause of instability around the world, and as a consequence, are going to threaten our national security. Now, the science of this is really clear. The rest of the world has spoken. Unfortunately, at least from the federal side, the federal government has decided to go America only, but the mayors of America are here to say that in partnership with the private sector and communities across the country, it doesn't mean that America as a nation will follow the lead of President Trump. As a matter of fact, we will do what we have to on our own to make sure that we protect jobs, protect our national security, and of course protect the environment, all of which we think fold hand in hand with each other. And so what the U.S. Conference of Mayors has spent a lot of time doing is working on the local level in indivisibility and in unison to make sure that we as a nation hit the marks that we think are necessary to protect our citizens, both environmentally from a job creation point of view and from our national security. We're ready to accept this challenge. This is not the first time we have had to act without the federal government. It would be better if we were in concert with them. But if they're not coming, mayors across America have sent the message loud and clear that collectively we're ready to take the lead on this issue and other issues that affect the welfare of the country. So I thank you for your time, and now I'd like to turn it over to Mayor Greg Stanton for his comments from Phoenix.
Thank you very much, Mayor Landrieu. Your leadership really has been inspirational. We've all been cheering you on and been inspired by the work that you've done in New Orleans on the issue of Confederate monuments, and your leadership continues with the U.S. Conference of Mayors on this critically important issue of climate change. I want to thank you for your leadership. And I've never seen mayors work more closely together or be more passionate than we are on this issue of fighting against climate change, improving our economy, doing right by our children and grandchildren. And what you saw yesterday from our president was the opposite of that. It was an abdication of American leadership. And America's mayors are going to fill the void. We're going to symbolically sign on to the Paris Accord on behalf of Americans all across the United States and substantively take the actions necessary to ensure that America meets its obligations under the Paris Accord. It's important to us. We're local leaders, and this is important to us locally. In Arizona, we are fighting extreme heat. We are fighting drought as a result of climate change. Forest fires in northern Arizona, the increase in forest fires are a direct result of climate change. So sometimes it might be pitted as a global issue. It's a local issue. I know Mayor Landrieu and other coastal cities are dealing with the threat of climate change and rising water tables. This is a local issue that mayors have to come together on, and we are not going to allow an abdication of American leadership on this issue. So the eyes of the world are upon us, and they're disappointed by what happened yesterday at the White House, and we want to make sure that they are heartened by the actions of leaders that get things done day-to-day in our own communities, and that is America's mayors. And it's so heartening that we're coming together in a bipartisan way. And Mayor Landrieu said it well, that this is not business versus the environment. In Phoenix, Arizona, supporting our sustainability measures, our climate change fight, is good business. We have entrepreneurs coming to the table with new ideas about how we can meet our zero waste carbon neutral energy goals that we're going to meet by 2050. We have entrepreneurs working side by side with city employees at our transfer stations, figuring out ways that we can eliminate things going into our public waste system, remove them from the waste system, and actually have marketplaces. We're creating jobs as a result of that. That's what the president is missing, is that not only is meeting our obligations under the Paris Accord right for the environment, right for future generations, it's good for job creation right now. That gets the creative juices of America going. That's why this is such a big mistake, and I'm so proud of my fellow mayors for stepping up to the plate, as they have done in the past with Kyoto and others, and now there's a greater threat than ever before, that America's mayors are stepping into the plate, now we're taking on a role internationally that we need to, because people around the globe need to have confidence that America is going to keep our obligations and keep a leadership role on this critically important issue of climate change. Now I'm going to kick it over to my friend, the former president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, Mayor Kautz, Elizabeth Kautz of Burnsville, Minnesota.
Thank you, Mayor Stanton, and thank you for your work on the Environmental Committee and your leadership there. We really appreciate all of that, and Mayor Landrieu with his leadership in New Orleans. And I remember when we had the oil spill, Mayor Landrieu, I was the president at that time and came down and supported you and everything that was going on down in New Orleans. To everyone who is listening, let me tell you that the mayors won't quit, because for us, we live close to our people and we care about the environment. We care about energy efficiency, and we want to make sure that people know that mayors won't quit. I came into office right after we signed the Kyoto Protocol, when Mayor Greg Nickels of Seattle rallied us and said, this is the right thing for us to do, and we all agreed. And so when I took office as president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, I knew that if we're going to do this right also, the mayors of America, 1,000 mayors signed the agreement, and we all worked to make sure that we can protect our planet for our children, make sure that we have new economic vitality through the new businesses that will be created. So I took the mayors' challenge on climate to the European Union and formed a partnership with the mayors of the EU on Global Alliance on Climate, and then to China, and then to the to Mexico, where we have the Mexico Pact for global mayors. And let me tell you, it is mayors who will make a difference. President Trump may say that we are out of the Kyoto Protocol. I was in Copenhagen. I was in Paris. And mayors will come together to get this done, because it is about us today. It is about our children and our grandchildren, and we must protect the planet. Here in Minnesota, we have a precious resource called water. And there are my friends in the West Coast, Mayor Stanton, you all, with all of the heat wave that you've been receiving and all of that, you need water. California needs water. We have it here, but we need to protect that precious resource. And so what we've done in Burnsville is work very hard to help recharge the aquifers rather than depleting them over and over again. And the reports have come back from the Department of Natural Resources, and the work that we have done since we adopted our sustainability plan, because of the work that we did in signing the climate agreement for the U.S. Conference of Mayors, I brought it back and brought it local. We are all moving towards agreeing with that. I just had my CEO roundtables. These are the leaders of our businesses here. I told them about what we're going to be doing. And, of course, we talked about what the president has done. And with our utilities, Xcel Energy, April 13, 2015, the last coal train came into Burnsville, and that plant is going combined cycle. Let me tell you, that had a great impact on our carbon emission, and it reduced it a great deal. So we're celebrating a lot of great successes. Our business said, we don't need Washington to tell us. We're going to do it because it's the right thing to do. And we've got jobs, and if we look at our metro area, metro areas are responsible for 91% of the gross domestic product, and we're doing the work that needs to be done. And the Paris Accord, that agreement, we will exceed that in cities because we care, and we will make sure that we work with our businesses and the people. So it's going to be okay because we're going to, the mayors are going to do it. We don't need Washington to tell us what to do. We will do what is right. And now I will pass this forward to my colleague from Carmel, Indiana, Mayor Jim Brainerd, who is our Energy Independent and Climate Change Task Force. He's one of the members of that task force. Mayor Brainerd.
Well, thank you, Mayor Kautz. I'm a mayor of a city of about 90,000 people that generally votes 80% Republican, but I have yet to meet a citizen of my community that wants to drink dirty water or breathe dirty air and doesn't want to leave the earth in better condition for their children and grandchildren. You know, the president talks a lot about the United States being great. Now, I maintain that we are a great country and have been for some time. But I think he's measuring greatness by the wrong yardstick. Greatness is measured by one's ability to lead. Greatness is measured by a country's ability to provide clean water and clean air to their citizens. Greatness should be measured by the amount of economic activity, building products, learning how to build hydrogen engines, which create no carbon, learning how to have batteries so we can store renewables, better batteries, refining the solar panel technology, improving the windmill technology. Even if one is skeptical about the science, and I'm not, we ought to look at it from a national defense standpoint. Why do we want to use up all of our fossil fuels? Why don't we want to start to use renewables, save those fossil fuels in the case of an emergency? Yeah, I think we learned as small children that we're supposed to leave the earth in a better condition than we found it. We learned that in Girl and Boy Scouts. We learned it in school. It doesn't seem like that hard of concept to get, and I don't understand where our national government is going with it right now. I was on President Obama's task force on climate, one of four Republicans out of 25 or some people at the end of the Obama administration. And as a result of that experience, was asked by the State Department to go to India and Germany in the lead-up to the Paris meetings in December of 2015. And I can tell you, as I visited mayors all over India and mayors all over Germany on behalf of the United States government, they're all looking to the United States for leadership. But what I would say to them today is that there will still be leadership from the United States. It's going to come from the mayors of this country, which represent over 80% of our population. The leadership is going to come from those mayors, and we're going to continue to do the things that we have been doing for over a decade to reduce our carbon output and make our cities better, make the quality of life in our cities better, improve the health of our citizens, and produce less carbon and hopefully negate some of the impacts of climate change. Is Mayor Mitchell on?
I am.
I want to be here, my colleague from New Bedford, Mass. I want to pass over to you, Mayor. It's all yours.
Thank you, Mayor Brainerd. Thank you, everybody. And I want to thank Mayor Landrieu for his leadership on climate change issues and a host of other issues. This is a matter that obviously stares the mayor of New Orleans right in the face, and he's really taken charge of speaking out on behalf of the nation's mayors in a very, very strong way. I want to say is New Bedford is a city of 100,000. We're the largest commercial fishing port in America, and we, too, stare climate change right in the face. We are prone to hurricanes. We see the effects of climate change not only on the sea level rising right around our coastline, but also in changes in the composition and the volume of fish that are caught off of our waters. But it's all more than that. You know, for us, you know, watching what the president did yesterday just represents, as has been noted earlier, a true abdication of U.S. leadership on the singular issue of our day, that is the health of our very planet and our ability of our and the opportunity of our children and grandchildren to live healthy and fruitful lives. I think history will judge the president harshly on this decision, and it represents yet another area where mayors are stepping into the void left by the federal government, and probably the most poignant one. In the last 10 to 15 years, it has been America's cities that have led the way on climate change issues, on the proliferation of energy-efficient technology, and on clean energy. Here in New Bedford, we've become a leader in solar, among other things. We, according to the Wall Street Journal, we have more installed solar capacity than any city per capita in the continental U.S., and we're also about to become the launching pad for the American offshore wind industry in the next couple of years. So we have dived into it, even though we're a city of only 100,000, with both feet, because we see it not only as a clean energy as a way of generating new jobs and saving taxpayer money, but we need to do our part in making our world a better place. Things are easier when the federal government is a willing and active partner. Unfortunately, the president spoke loudly and clearly that the federal government will not partner with us. Joining the ranks, I know, of Nicaragua and Syria as the only two countries in the world that are not going to remain in the Paris Accord. So we move forward, and we move forward knowing that that others around the world, other cities around the world, will heed the example of America's mayors. We have a lot of respect globally, and so even though our reach in terms of our legal authority doesn't extend beyond the borders of our own cities, our influence certainly extends not only far beyond that, but across the world, and we plan on being very loud and clear about where most of America stands on these issues, and that is to take the lead and to set an example. Can I turn it back to you? If there's nobody else on the line, turn it back to Mayor Landrieu.
Good. Well, Mayors, thank you all so much for all of those really important comments. And now we're going to open it up to questions. So whatever, you know, media is on the line, just direct your questions to whichever mayor you'd like to answer it. Go ahead.
Star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star 1 for questions. We'll go first to Alejandro Lazo with the Wall Street Journal.
Thanks for taking the question. Mine's simply, do you have any estimate as to, what degree, the U.S. mayors of the U.S. mayors might be able, what degree of impact U.S. mayors might be able to have? In other words, is there some estimate you might have about the percentage of emissions the cities in your coalition, emit, and what kind of impact you might have by doing whatever it is you plan to do, I guess, following the targets set out by the Accord or your own targets or whatever. Just looking for a little bit of just kind of specific data if you've got any. Thanks a lot.
Mayor Brandon, do you want to take that?
Yeah, I would like to take that.
In
2005, the U.S. Congress of Mayors basically signed an agreement. Over 1,000 mayors, over 95% of all the mayors in the country, both Republicans and Democrats, to comply with the Kyoto Protocols, which 192 countries implemented that year. We were not one of those countries. So we've been doing these things for some time. There's a recent study that shows, as a result of what's been done, and staff can provide the exact citation for you in authority, but we've lowered carbon in the United States as a result of those efforts by 12%. It's important to remember that over, I think it's close to 85% of the country's population lives in incorporated cities. So when cities do all the things that they do, and there's hundreds of things in our best practice files that cities are doing across the country, when cities do those things, they do have an impact, and the cities, by working together, can meet the goals of the Paris Accord.
Great, and that was Jim, right, Jim Rainer?
Yes,
thank you,
Carmel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Folks on the West Coast would say Carmel. We say Carmel.
Carmel. I'm on the West Coast. So
Thanks
for the question.
Yeah, this is Elizabeth Kautz. You also ask about local initiatives. Well, I can tell you that in the city of Burnsville in Minnesota, I'm a city of 62,000 people in a metropolitan area. And the state of Minnesota had put out in 2007 goals for us to meet for the Next Generation Energy Act of 2007. And the act established nationally aggressive statewide greenhouse gas reduction goals, using 2005 as a baseline of 15% by 2015 and 30% by 2025 and 80% by 2050. The city of Burnsville far exceeded the 2015 goal of a 15% reduction. The emissions of our city was 17% decreased. So that was about in 2015. So I can tell you that cities across America are meeting goals because we believe that if we measure what we are doing, we will have a good story to tell, and we have data to talk to everybody about. So locally, that's what's happening, and I can give you specific data on all of the work that we're doing. And I can tell you that my colleagues across the nation can also do the same thing. So we believe that collectively we will make a big difference in protecting our planet and making sure that we have a great environment that we leave for our children. And also we will reduce our energy consumption.
Yeah, can I?
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Can I jump in real quickly, Mayor Landrieu, on that question?
Sure.
Yeah, this is John Mitchell, Mayor of New Bedford, and as the I'm here in my capacity as the chair of the conference's Energy Committee. I guess in answer to your question, it's hard to quantify exactly the level of carbon emissions that cities have achieved over the last few years. There are varying accounts. But one thing that is really, really clear is that new initiatives, and Mayor Kautz was getting at this in her comments, new initiatives are not only being started but are well underway. All of this stuff is in motion, whether it's in the installment of LED lighting, whether it's the proliferation of solar, whether it's the use of anaerobic digesters, whether it's things as minor as the promotion of bike share programs. All of these things lead to a lower carbon footprint around the country. And virtually, and we've done surveys on this, we'd be happy to share them with you, virtually every city in America is doing these things. And to the extent that any of these things are these initiatives are cost prohibitive, most of the states have incentive programs in place to fill the market gap. So regardless of what the president says, these things are not going to slow down. The commitment is there, and the rationale is compelling.
Terrific. Thank you, Mayor. All right, another question.
And we do have USCM Second Vice President Mayor Benjamin on, and he's available to take questions. We'll take our final question from Miranda Green, CNN.
Hi, thanks for taking questions. I was hoping to ask any of the mayors there. I think it was Mayor Stanton who said things are easier when the federal government is a willing and active partner. In this specific situation, we're obviously saying that that's not going to be the case. But I'm really wondering, as the federal government isn't just not going to be an active partner, but we're also seeing the administration talk about wanting to increase coal production, wanting to increase natural gas production. How do you plan to, as mayors, counteract that change that we're going to be seeing federally? How do you think that, you know, continuing on the path and the plan that you've already had in place is going to be able to counteract the changes that we're going to end up seeing, you know, across the country on a federal level?
Greg, you want to take that?
I guess I'll jump in first on that one. And look, I want to give people hope, but not false hope in this process, because the reality is that it's going to be a lot harder for the United States to meet its commitments under the Paris Accord without the president being on board, without a strong federal partner. And the mayors across the United States of America are going to do everything within our power. We are going to step up our game in ways that you haven't ever seen and work as partners to make sure that we lead the goal. Because we need to give hope to people across the globe, and we need to do right by people in our local communities. And yes, it's frustrating that the president, I guess in order to try to win a few votes in coal country and give false hope to the people in coal country, is willing to advocate this incredibly important role and responsibility of President of the United States, and frankly, to sell out the people of Arizona who are concerned about extreme heat, who are concerned about the drought that's been now been going on for 14 years, that are concerned about the significant increase in forest fires in northern Arizona, which impact not just our environment, but impact our economy here locally. The role and responsibility of the President of the United States, if he wants to put America first, is to look at the priorities of all Americans, including out here in the West, which clearly he did not do with the position that he took yesterday by advocating American leadership and pulling us out of the Paris Accord. But what are we going to do? We're going to continue at city level to work with entrepreneurs who are in the alternative energy space. In Phoenix, Arizona, we've got 35 megawatts of solar on every possible city building you could imagine. We've got a massive solar plant over an old landfill that's been closed. We're going to use every inch of space we can for alternative energy. We're going to work with our entrepreneurial community to come up with new ideas about how to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions and use the city of Phoenix and other cities around the country as proof of case about how they can actually accomplish their goals. We're going to be their partner. You know, energy is a big part of our entrepreneurial ecosystem here in Phoenix, Arizona. And we're going to invest Phoenix dollars to do forest restoration in northern Arizona, hours and hours away from Phoenix. We're going to use our resources because we have to fill the role that should otherwise be filled by the federal government, and they are not they're not doing. So the advocation of the president on this critically important issue is not going to stop us in any regard. We're going to fill that void to the best of our ability. And if the president wants to reinvest in old energy models and not look to the future, it's going to be up to America's cities and mayors to show leadership that the world is changing, energy is going to be delivered differently in the future, and we're going to be at the forefront of that.
Yes, thank you so much. Mayor Benjamin, do you want to? Hey, Mayor Benjamin, why don't you close this out if you can?
Hey, Steve Benjamin, Mayor of Columbia, South Carolina. And I'm honored to be alongside my colleagues as second vice president of the conference, but also as a co-chair of our newly launched Mayors for 100% Clean Energy. We kicked off this initiative earlier in the spring and had our first press conference just 2 days ago. This effort, chaired by myself, the mayor of Miami Beach, San Diego, and Salt Lake City, we'll be bringing a resolution before Mayor Mitchell's committee in Miami that so far we'll have 64 different co-sponsors from all across the country, renewing our commitment to making sure that we protect our environment even from ourselves, and we present an America to our children that they deserve. To the question from the Wall Street Journal, obviously you know that cities represent 75% of the world's energy consumption. So if we can see leadership amongst our local elected officials that we're seeing evidence over just this past week, we can make a huge difference. We would love to be partners with the EPA. Every mayor on this call has partnered and worked with the EPA in the past. Many mayors on this call have been adverse to the EPA in the past. So we'd love to work together. It makes America better, makes the world better when we're working together. But if we are required to be adversaries because the EPA has decided to work against the interests of the public health of our citizens, then we're prepared to be adversaries.
All right, Benjamin, thank you so much.
We will be taking all right, questions guys. For the mayors who are available to stay on the call.
Great. You guys, I'm going to jump off here, Benjamin. If you'll take over, that would be great. Thanks so much.
I might want to jump in on that last question. Hello?
Yeah. I am still here.
Hi. Is CNN still there?
I am still here, yes.
Oh, okay. I want to jump in on your last on your question, and that is to point out that regardless of what the president does on this issue, the markets are terribly important in a situation like this. You know, if Walmart determines that they can save money by reducing the plastic wrap around a product by X percentage and it saves a fraction of a cent times millions of products, that's real money to them. That's going to continue. When our city takes just under $1 million and replaces all its streetlights with LEDs and gets a 22% return on investment, other cities are going to do the same thing. The market is moving away from coal. It's moving towards natural gas, moving towards cleaner fuels. That's going to continue regardless of what the federal government does. And I think it's fair to point that out, too. Those forces are far stronger and make a lot more difference than the president's proclamation yesterday.
Great. Thank you so much.
We'll go next to Maureen Grope. Gannett.
Hi, Mayor Brainerd. You still there?
Yes.
Hi. This is a local question for you. So is there anything you're going to be doing differently in Carmel? Are you going to be stepping up any efforts to try to help to accelerate efforts to make it even a bigger impact given what happened?
We already have a plan. Our 100% Republican City Council passed a resolution a few weeks ago committing to carbon neutrality within a couple decades. We have a plan that we've been working for 10 years to achieve that. We're going to continue working that plan. Everything from city design to better insulated buildings to hybrid and alternative fuel cars to energy centers that reduce the amount of energy required to produce air conditioning and heat. More trails, city design so that people don't have to drive. One thing that we've done that's unique in the country, we have more roundabouts than any other city in the country of 104 today. You know, people think safety, they're a lot safer, and they are. We reduced our injury accidents by 80% of the roundabout over a traffic light, but we're also saving about 25,000 gallons of fuel per roundabout. And cities all over the country are experimenting and innovating with how to reduce that particular city's carbon emissions. And that's why I'm still optimistic that we'll be able to meet the terms of our country's promise to the rest of the world, regardless of what this particular administration chooses.
And you think you can do that without having to do even more than you've been planning on doing?
Yes, I think so. I think in some cities that maybe haven't gone as far as we have, they may have to step it up a bit. But my point is that cities, for the last 12 years since we got our climate protection agreement in place at the Conference of Mayors, have been working towards this. We haven't gotten a lot of support during other administrations. We didn't get a lot of support in the first part of the Obama administration. I think he was focused on the economy at that point. We got a lot of focus in the last few years of the Obama administration, but we haven't had it in the past. But mayors throughout, whether the federal government's supporting or not supporting, and my point is it's gone up and down, have continued to make the changes in their cities that will make a huge difference for the country.
Again, that is star 1 for questions, star 1. We'll go next to John Siciliano with Washington Examiner.
Hi there. I just wanted to, I think, Mayor Stanton was discussing the actual submission of symbolically signing on to the Paris Court. Is that the same as what Mayor Bloomberg announced yesterday, where he was going to pull together states, mayors, and business officials to sign on to, I guess, what he would like to say constitutes an INDC to the UN, demonstrating U.S. resolve amongst local officials to pursue carbon reductions and meet the Paris Accord targets. Is that the same thing? You know, California Governor Jerry Brown and New York and Washington also said they're putting together their own initiative. How does the conferences announcing today fit into that? Is it similar? Is it the same? Is it coordinated? Hello?
This is Elizabeth Kaus, past president. I think your question is, are mayors working collectively with the U.S. Conference of Mayors and Mayor Bloomberg? You know, this just happened. So what we know at the U.S. Conference of Mayors is that we are going to do what we need to do to make sure that we are meeting those agreement numbers. But we are doing it independently of this administration. So the mayors are coming together. We have an annual meeting in June in Miami Beach, and we're going to be talking about this. Now, are we going to partner with Bloomberg? Are we going to partner with others? We've been very good about our partnerships because as the past president, one of the things that I did was to really look at our partnerships with the mayors of Europe through the EU, and then also in China, and also the Global Mayors Compact in Mexico City. So, you know, are we going to do this globally? I think that's going to be part of the conversation. And we mayors of the U.S. have always been great at saying, let's partner to make this thing work and make a big difference on a global level and to make sure that we are protecting our planet.
Can you talk about logistically how that, you know, I understand you have to make a decision, but how logistically is that? If you're going to submit something to the United Nations, no?
Yeah, so this is John Mitchell, Mayor of New Bedford. Yeah, so I'm the Energy Committee Chair, and I think it's so logistically speaking, this will all happen through the U.S. conference, which does these things from time to time. I think this is one of the bigger issues that we'll be tackling collectively and have tackled in the past. As a number of the mayors have noted, we went through, as a body, went through this exercise in the wake of the U.S.'s withdrawal from the Kyoto Protocol. But I think this is a move by the president is even more serious than the move by the Bush administration some 10 or so years ago, in the sense that climate change has fewer doubters. The effects are starting to become more evident. And there has been tremendous growth, especially in cities, and the development of alternative energy. So we have a track record in place that we can roll out to people, that we can point to and say, you know what, this matters. We can reduce our carbon footprint if we continue to promote what we've been doing, if we continue on the same track. But, again, it would be all the easier if we had a willing partner in the White House. But, you know, we play the hand we're dealt, and the hand at this point doesn't include the White House.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Now, talk to us at the end of the month after we have our annual meeting in Miami Beach. So when we have that annual meeting, we will tell you what kind of agreement that we will send to Paris and to the United Nations.
Okay, great. So, yeah, pay attention to the conference meeting.
Yes.
Tatiana Kravchenko, CBS News.
Hi there. Thanks for doing this call. I wanted to know if there are any mayors within the conference who disagree with this and with the position as a whole here, and if so, what are their concerns?
Well, I can field that one. Again, as the energy chair, this is John Mitchell, mayor of New Bedford. I have not heard of a single mayor who disagrees with this platform, and I would welcome that conversation, but I think we'd be hard pressed to find one. And if there is a lone voice out there, it hasn't come across my desk, and I won't speak for the other mayors.
This is Jim Brainerd in Carmel, Indiana, Republican City, and I'm the Republican co-chair of the Climate Task Force at the Conference of Mayors, and been working with mayors from across the country to sign our climate protection agreement for over 10 years. I've yet to have a Republican or a Democratic mayor refuse to sign that document when asked, and no one from the conference or other mayors that aren't part of the conference have ever approached me and said they disagree.
This is Elizabeth Kautz. I'm also a Republican mayor and also past president, one who has really championed this whole effort with regard and starting from the Kyoto Protocol to today. So we released the U.S. Conference of Mayors released a press release. It says mayors strongly oppose the withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord. So that is a statement that I can tell you that all of us are strongly in support of the press release that went out, and we oppose the withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord because we are in line in doing everything that we can to protect our planet and to protect the environment and to look at energy efficiency. So for us, this is the right thing to do.
I want to jump in. We have another issue approaching us. As you know, federal legislation is done in two parts. It's authorized and then funded. And several years ago, we had authorized an energy block grant program because the federal Congress and administration recognized that one size doesn't fit all. We all have different energy and environmental problems and issues facing our cities. And so in the Recession Recovery Act, the stimulus package, which is known by for the first time, we had funded energy and environmental block grants by the Obama administration. Never made it into one of their regular budgets, but it was in the stimulus package. And we'll be asking the Congress, the President, to continue to consider that revenue sharing program. I think it's important to point out that revenue sharing as an idea that came out of the Nixon administration. It was a Republican idea, recognizing that we need to allocate resources among all cities, rich or poor in the country, but yet that one size doesn't fit all. So we're not going to give up on the federal government. We're going to continue to ask them to work and help cities as they do what they believe they need to do.
Again, that is star one for questions. We'll go next to Akineta Anderson, Bead News Daily.
I believe the mayor just answered my question. My question was how the mayor's intended to fill the funding gap as far as energy block grant money. So you kind of answered the question I was going to ask, part of it. The other part is if
can I just pick up on that for Can I pick up that on that 1 second? Because just I think it's worth noting that there are many states that are jumping into that gap. It has certainly been the case of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to fund a number of energy efficiency initiatives, all for the purpose of hitting the state's carbon reduction goals. Mayor Kautz noted similar approaches in Minnesota. Many, if not most, of the states have ponied up funds. So, you know, a conversation worth having, too, is with governors, of course, because they, too, play a role in combating climate change, notwithstanding the federal government's position. Sorry to interrupt.
Which is my second, okay, which is the second part of my question. How do you intend to build a relationship with states that have Republicans as governors who will be supporting the president? How do you intend to handle that?
Well, let me jump in on that question. This is Jim Brainerd again in Carmel. We do have a Republican governor who I know is concerned about the environment. I don't think we can assume that all Republican governors stand with the president on this. Absolutely no, that would be an invalid assumption. Some will, some won't. Even the ones that publicly may agree with the president may have programs in place and continue them. And it's going to be up to the mayors, though, ultimately, to say, we prepare our budgets, we submit them to our city councils, and it's going to be up to us to say, this is a priority for our city. And we all have big budgets to deal with. There's always more needs than revenue. We recognize that, but that's why the mayors have to be firm and say, these things are priorities.
Okay.
Yeah, I can speak again for Massachusetts. We have a Republican governor who spoke out pretty forcefully against the president's move this morning. He has signed a number of things that will promote the development of clean energy, probably the most prominent of which is was an energy bill last summer that will effectively establish the offshore wind industry here in Massachusetts, which is a big thing for us. So I think that you will hear a number of Republican governors who will come out and say, I'm with the mayors of my cities. The president is on the wrong side of history.
Okay. Thank you.
We have no further questions in queue. That concludes today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.
Thanks, everyone.